We ought to be praying for them. We do have plans to get involved in Fiji on a deeper level. It's been on my heart for some time. So thank you for coming and sharing with us. And it is our hope to make a trip over there and to get involved with you. We don't want to be a problem to you, but hopefully we can be of help. And look, one of the ways that we can get involved with what God's doing in other places is through our finances. I'll just put it out there directly. They were too, respectful not to ask, which I appreciate. But if you want to support these guys, maybe you want to support them monthly. You know, it takes a lot. It's a lot of effort to do what they're doing. And if we can show them some appreciation and some encouragement, just by sending maybe regular funds to them to support them in their ministry and in their work, it's a pretty incredible way to be a part of ministry in another country. But also, if you feel like you want to fund the work and the things that they're doing there more directly, maybe you want to give a donation to the building project or to the land or something like that, look, that's an opportunity as well. We're not here to push you or press you on money, but if you would like to do that, you can just put the finances into the Shoreline account, but make sure that you label it Fiji, and we'll make sure that it gets sent directly to them, all of it. We won't take any administrative fees or anything like that. So it is a ministry that we want to get involved with on a deeper level. Pastor Charles came and shared with our men's at our men's conference several years back, and I was just really impressed with him and with the ministry and with the sacrifices they're willing to make to see people come to faith and to see people grow in their faith. So if you would, this morning, I just want to get into the Word a bit with you, just for a few moments. We don't have much time, although we are on island time this morning, so we have several hours. I suppose we can break them in right now. If we get too involved with Fiji, we'll have to know what island time is, eh? But we're just going to review what we looked at last week and specifically deal with what the Lord has for us this morning. And that's Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 through 38, as we consider what it looks like to labor in the harvest. And as they were sharing what they're doing in Fiji, what really stands out in my mind is that serving the Lord is hard work. Serving the Lord is hard work. And that's what the Lord has called us as well to pray for. Let's just read Matthew chapter 9, verse 35, and then just a few things this morning before we close. It says, I'll turn to the right book here, I was in Romans. Here we go. Matthew 9:35 says, "Then Jesus went about all their cities and villages, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep, having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest.'" And so Matthew chapters 8 through 9 were written to reveal to us the messianic credentials of Jesus in demonstrating his authority over sickness, storms, Satan, sin, and death. And Matthew sums up his ministry here in chapter 9 by telling us that he continued to travel throughout the cities and villages of Israel, teaching, preaching, and healing. And at some point during Jesus' ministry, during this ministry, he looks out at the multitudes of needy people, those who are weary and scattered, and he compares them to a sheep with no shepherd. And not only does Jesus identify the condition of the people, he also expresses his compassion for the people, as he views their condition also as an opportunity, comparing the neediness of the people to a field that's ready to be harvested, but one in which there are few laborers. Imagine the frustration if you look out upon a field that's ready to be harvested, but there's nobody to work the harvest, to work the field. And that's what he says in verse 37, "The harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few." And so his command then is that you should pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. And as I was just thinking about this, you know, a few things came to my mind. And one of those things is that we could use a change of perspective sometimes in our lives. A change of perspective. And we must not lose sight of compassion. And specifically, the compassionate heart of the Lord. It's easy to become focused on the moral decay of society, right? It's easy to become focused, and it is worthy of criticism and condemnation oftentimes. But we must not neglect the compassionate heart of Jesus for people. In Psalm chapter 103, it says, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in mercy." Our world is dark. People are lost. Jesus is the only hope. Do you believe that? Shining as light in the world doesn't mean that we merely point out the sins of the world. That's part of it. But it also means that we direct people to the truth of the gospel. And there's no better time to shine brightly than when times are dark. The Apostle John tells us of God's great love in John chapter 3, verse 16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen? Another thing that we must not lose sight of, aside from compassion, is our commission as the people of God. At this point in Matthew's gospel, these disciples are specifically or specially commissioned only to go to the children of Israel. And we'll look at that next week. But later, after Jesus is risen, the disciples will be commissioned along with others by Jesus to go into the world and to make disciples of all nations. The word for nations is ethnos, and it means it's really where we get our word ethnicity from. To all people, to all people. And this commission is one that has continued from that point for every generation. Go into the world and make disciples, teaching them the things that you have learned, essentially. That's Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. You know the Great Commission. Go out. This is what we're about. This is what we as the church need to keep in our hearts and in our minds. Compassion for the lost and a sense of the commission of our Lord to go into the world. Isn't it so easy to become sidetracked from this? There are so many cares and concerns that we have about life, especially with these last few years, that we get sidetracked from the main thing. And the main thing for the church and for the people of God is to show compassion and to be about the Great Commission, to make disciples. There is yet work to be done. I believe that there is still a harvest. How great it is, I don't know. I pray the Lord would give me his eyes for that. There is still work to be done. And you know, it may be that the harvest is greater in other places than it is maybe where we live. Maybe the harvest is great here. Maybe it's great in Fiji. Maybe it's great in the Middle East. And I want you to understand that you and I can be involved in the work of his harvest. Whether or not we stay here or go somewhere else, we can and we should be involved in the harvest. There's work yet to be done. And sadly, I think that it could also still be said that compared to the work to be done, the laborers are few. The laborers are few. In fact, in speaking on this, Jesus says this in John chapter 4, verse 34, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored and you have entered into their labors." I love that image. You've entered into their work. Again, similarly, Paul speaks of his ministry along these same lines in 1 Corinthians. He says, "Who is Paul and who is Apollos? But ministers through whom you have believed, as the Lord gave to each one. He says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. Do you believe that this life is all there is? No? I think most of us would say no. But do you live like this life is all that there is? I hope you can say no. Because sometimes we believe that there's an eternal life, that there are eternal rewards, but we live as though this is all that there is. We ought to be involved in what God is doing. We must be about our Father's business. We may not be some great evangelist. We may not be apostles, prophets, pastors, or teachers, but we are all called to the work of ministry. Did you know that? It's not just my job, it's our job, the work of ministry. In fact, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 says that he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors, teachers. He's given those gifts to men, and he's given those men to the church. And this is the reason, for the equipping of the saints. Uh-oh, that's you. That's all of us. And you might think, well, I'm not a saint. I don't have a halo. That's not what it means. It just means those who have been called out for God's purposes. That's you if you're a member of the church. For the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. Work, it's the same word, labor of ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. You have been called by the Lord. But so many of us, so many people, in fact, won't take the Lord up. And I think what we need is a change in perspective, but we also need a commitment to pray, a commitment to prayer. Prayer is the most powerful tool in the believer's arsenal, but is sometimes overlooked even by those who know of its power. And Jesus says, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. And pray for those laborers that are in the harvest, that the Lord would strengthen them and provide for them and encourage them, because it can be difficult and discouraging in the work. Isn't it interesting that before sending out his disciples, Jesus first asked them to pray? Why was prayer important if he was going to send them out immediately afterwards? I believe that prayer is one way that God can change our perspective and our heart. If you find that you don't have the right perspective, you don't see the world with compassion and see the world as a harvest with these through the lens of the commission, then maybe you need to commit yourself to prayer for the harvest. But another thing is, I think that the disciples needed a recognition that they were not alone and that they couldn't do it alone. The harvest was too great even for the 12. They would not only need the intervention of God, but in time they would need more people who were ready and willing to work hard for the gospel. So pray, continue to pray that the Lord would send out laborers. I pray that the Lord would send out some of you, whether that's sending you out here in Tauranga, New Zealand, Fiji, Africa. I know you're probably afraid of Africa, but maybe even there. Fiji is a little bit closer. Closer to home, you can escape more easily. We would have far more mission-minded people if we had more prayer-committed people, I believe. We would see far more laborers in the harvest and continuing in the harvest through times of discouragement and things like that if there were more people committed to praying for the harvest. And so I want to charge you this morning, pray for these guys. Pray for the work that they're doing. Pray for those who are serving here in this church as well. Commit yourself to prayer. And finally, what it takes and what we need is not only a commitment to prayer and a change of perspective, but a compliance with his commands and his plans. A compliance with his plans. In the verses that follow, Matthew names the 12 before they're sent out. And they're sent from a variety of backgrounds, fishermen, tax collectors, zealots, those sorts of things. But one thing that is very clear is that Jesus changed the trajectory of their lives forever. When they started following Jesus, that became everything. It changed their lives. Their plans for their future were completely altered by the plans that Jesus had for them. And I doubt that when Peter planned out his year and his yearly calendar, I don't think he did that. I don't think he had a vision Sunday, you know, every year. But, you know, when he planned out his year before meeting Jesus, I don't think that casting out demons and healing all kinds of sickness was on his list. I think maybe he was saying, I'm going to catch a lot of fish and make some money. Which we didn't do last night. We caught one fish and we shared it between like six of us. We thought that God would bless us with the Fijians, but... But I have no doubt that if you told Peter that before meeting Jesus, he would have cast out demons and healed the sick, he probably would have laughed in your face knowing Peter. When we humbly comply with God's plans, rather than stubbornly commit to ours, we may find God using us in ways that we never would have imagined. And that's my hope for all of us. We make plans, and that's good. I'm not saying that we shouldn't. But are you willing to surrender those plans and comply with His? He might use you in ways you never would have imagined. And if we're to read ahead, which we'll read next week, we would also see that Jesus gave to them power for the work, and He gave to them a pattern to follow. When God calls a person to work, He empowers that person for that work. I have no doubt, and I'm going to invite Aquila back up. He's going to close us with a song or two. Island time, so maybe five or six. I'm just kidding. Sort of. I'm sort of kidding. For the children's ministry workers, we'll think of them. But I have no doubt that for some of you, God has, maybe you're ignoring it, maybe you're casting it aside, God has or God will call you to a work of ministry, to an area of ministry that He will require you to commit to. And for some of you, that will mean a complete alteration of your plans. Might require you to commit your entire life to that service. Maybe He'll call you to be a missionary. I remember this song was written by Ten Shekels and a Shirt. It's a Christian band. And one of the verses is, if God has called you to be a missionary, don't stoop to be a king. And I love that. If God's called you to something, don't stoop to even what would be the highest calling according to the world. Maybe He'll call you to be a missionary. Maybe He'll call you to pastoral ministry. And I don't know, whatever the Lord has called you to, if you ignore that, don't be a fool and say no. For the majority of people, ministry looks a lot more practical than those things. It means working a job to support yourself. Hopefully enough to give to others in times of need. It means loving your family as Christ would. It means serving your co-workers, being a compassionate boss or co-worker. It means serving your church family. But even for you, my prayer for us is that we would maintain our compassion for the lost, that we'd be involved in every level that we can be in the commission, and that we'd always be prepared to yield to His calling in our lives. Amen? Amen. Thank you guys for sharing. And again, if you want to give to these guys, I want to encourage you to do that. They're doing the work. They're laborers in the Lord's harvest. He's answered some of our prayers if you've been praying for these things. Let's pray. Let's continue to pray for them and support them. Let's close. I'll close with prayer. Aquila will lead us in a song or two. Father, thank You for these two men. Thank You, God, for what You're doing in Fiji. Lord, I still believe that there is a great harvest. Just how great is hard to tell. It's easy to become focused on the negative things, Lord, that are happening, that we fail to recognize that there's genuine need and that we, God, through you are the light of the world. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to shine the truth of your word wherever we go. And I thank you, God, for Aquila, for Lucy, for doing that. And I pray, God, that you would just bring a great harvest in through them. We do pray, God, for continued provision, Lord, spiritually, that you'd bring encouragement. Financially, God, that you'd give to them the funding that is necessary, Lord, to see this ministry flourish and grow. For Charles, Lord, I pray that you'd strengthen him and his family, Lord, and bless them for opening their home, God, as they have. And Lord, we just want to thank you for bringing them to us today and for reminding us that your work is so much bigger than what we see here in this small representation of your body. That you're doing things, Lord, all over the city, this country, and this world. And I thank you, God, for taking and sending out vessels, Lord, that may seem, that may seem unusable, like your disciples. And God, you send them out, you empower them for your work. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for this morning. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Would you stand as we close with the song?